Deal or No Deal? Do you remember the TV game hosted by Noel Edmonds back in the early 2000s, where a contestant chose one of 22 boxes, and in each box there was a cash sum anywhere from a penny up to £250,000. And then they would attempt to win as much as possible, either by gambling on having a high amount in their chosen box, or making the game's hidden operator named the banker offer a considerable cash sum for their box, regardless of what was inside. Now, tell me, what would you do if two boxes were left? There was one box that had £100 in it, and the other box had the jackpot of £250,000. And the banker then said, I'm going to give you £25,000 if you take my deal. Would you take the deal, or would you say no deal and open one more box that will either give you the jackpot of £250,000 or leave you with just £100? Deal or no deal? Well, I think a lot of us would take the £25,000. Now, what if you knew that that box that you had chosen contained the £250,000? If you could be guaranteed the best deal, you would surely ignore the banker's offer and you would play on. Of course you would. Well, our Old Testament reading today from Jeremiah, that also speaks of two deals between God and his people. The word used to describe these two possible deals is covenant. Unlike the game show, Deal or No Deal, we can see in advance which of the two covenants is the better deal. And in fact, God explicitly states that his new covenant is the best deal. Let's take a little bit of a closer look at our Old Testament reading. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. So clearly, the words new covenant indicate that Jeremiah is comparing two different covenants through which God established a relationship with his people. And if God is going to make a new covenant, that means that there was already an old one. And Jeremiah tells us about this old covenant. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. Jeremiah looks back several hundred years to the time when the Israelites escaped from slavery in Egypt. God, after several plagues, convinced Pharaoh to let his people go. But then Pharaoh changed his mind, and he sent Egypt's army after the Israelites. And they were then pinned between the army on one side and the Red Sea on the other. And then God performed a stunning miracle. He opened up a dry path through the sea, so that the nation could escape through to the other side. Once they were clear, the sea then went back to how it was and killed all the armies trying to catch up with the Israelites. And then with that stunning incident fresh in their minds, God established a covenant, a deal with his people. And this covenant was a two-sided deal. If they, the people, observed the laws and observed his commands, he would bless them. But if they failed to live as his law instructed, they would suffer for it. Yet before the ink was even dry on the covenant, they'd already broken it by engaging in all sorts of pagan immorality. And this just didn't happen only during the Exodus. It seemed to be the story of their whole history. Now let us fast forward several hundred years to the 6th century BC, where Jeremiah served the little nation of Judah, the remaining fragment of God's covenant. Now Jeremiah's book, it's filled with doom and gloom and warnings to the tribe of Judah. Why? Because God, or the people, had forsaken God. They had forsaken him time and time and time again. And so finally, God said, enough's enough, have it your way. And so then he gave them a time out, if you like, a 70-year time out. And during that time, he allowed an enemy nation to attack, defeat, and deport them from their homeland for 7 decades, let's say 70 years. And that was the historical backdrop when Jeremiah wrote his account. And we as people have continued in that sinful tradition. Where did all this start? Well, it started right back at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. God had given Adam the sweetest deal that has ever been given to a man. He had free run of the garden, a beautiful wife, all you could eat, peace, tranquility, no war, no famine, no poverty, no hate, and an intimate personal relationship with the creator of the universe. Then what happened? Satan came along and he started to stir things up. And in Genesis 3, we find him tempting Eve with a new deal. He portrays it as a better deal than the one God has made for them. Satan basically says to Eve that if she takes his deal, she will be like God. And Eve took the deal, and so did Adam, when they should have both said, no deal. There is an old saying, opportunity knocks once, but temptation beats on the door every day. We live our lives constantly surrounded by temptations. We are constantly being tempted to take a bad deal. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and ever since our will has been a rebellious will that will naturally opt for sin. Yet many complain to God when bad things happen, even when it is our sin that causes them. Others select just portions of God's word that they will apply in their lives, and they ignore the others. And when we act like his people only when it's convenient, who are we to blame God? So if the old deal, the old covenant, puts us through such a quandary, what does God's new deal, the new covenant, have to say to us? Well, this is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The old covenant was a two-sided arrangement. If people did their part, God would do his part. But the people never did their part. In fact, if we're honest, no ordinary human being has or ever will keep God's commands perfectly. So God looked forward in time, a day when his new covenant would come into fruition. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. The Hebrew word for law is Torah, and it means much more than the Ten Commandments that were the written law. Torah is a teaching, and this teaching, this new law, is one that God would write in their minds and in their hearts on the inner soul of his people. And this new law, this new covenant, it's later revealed to be the gospel. And God states to those under the new covenant that I will be their God and they will be my people. The new covenant relationship with God is not based on what people do. It is based on God, the one in whom they believe in faith. And Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, brought this new covenant relationship to fruition by his sacrifice. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Wickedness forgiven, sins no longer remembered. This is a new covenant, a covenant of grace, a one-sided deal, a unilateral covenant signed, sealed, and secured in the holy, precious blood of Jesus. And that signed covenant is brought to us through faith in Christ Jesus. Despite our efforts at overcoming sin and rebellion, God came forward with the divine rescue plan of his new covenant. God not only came forward, but he came down to our world in the person of Jesus Christ. He came with righteousness that covers our sinful hearts. He came with a sacrifice that atones for not only our sin, but the sin of the whole world. Jeremiah's promise of a new covenant was fulfilled by the coming of the Messiah. And at the Last Supper in Matthew 26, verse 28, it says, Jesus lifted the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." The birth, life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the gospel. In Christ, the prophetic promise of the new covenant became a reality. A new covenant based on faith, not obedience to the law. Through this covenant, we are set free from the bondage of sin, no longer slaves, but children of God. In a way, we are left with two boxes to choose, the old covenant or the new covenant. And now we know which box, which covenant holds the gift of Jesus, that holds the gift of eternal life. Accept the gift laid before you. Accept Jesus not only as your saviour, but the Lord of every aspect of your life. Accept him fully, be all that God has called you to be, and let Jesus take you from glory to glory. Amen.